Numbers chapter 12. All right, this morning's subject that we're going to talk about is the pathway to greatness. When I was 16 years of age, after several years of indulging in sin, I finally got my heart right with God. Several events led to that point. After that, I truly wanted to serve the Lord. When I was 18, I came across a great church, Lifegate Bible Baptist Church. Okay, I'm glad there's one or two amen to that one. But anyway, right. Okay, anyway, let's move on from that real quick, you know. When I was 18, I came to Lifegate Bible Baptist Church, and it was there I heard that the Bible was preached with authority and power for the first time in my life. I had ever heard the Bible preached that way. Some people like to get up and speak the Bible and say, well, you know, this is a good way to live your life, you know. But I heard the Bible preached, this is the only way to live your life. And, you know, I just think it's fantastic to hear the word preached with authority. God really started working in my heart, and my desires grew more and more for God to use me in a great way. I can well relate to Moses as he walked out in the heat of the day and he saw the taskmasters afflicting his people. I can understand why Moses, when he saw that Egyptian smiting his people, getting something, grabbing him and wanting to pound him into the sand. We can all relate to that. We can all understand when you see your persecuted people under the cruel rigor of taskmasters, the bondage of enslaved people, a beloved nation. You can understand passionate patriotism running through his veins, can't you? If you're Irish, or if you have become Irish by staying in this country long enough, say amen.
Amen.
And if you're Irish and you have an Irish passport because you're Irish, and you have an Irish passport because you're Irish, then you should be patriotic about this country.
Amen.
I want to talk to you about patriotism today, a little bit. But passionate patriotism should run through your veins. If it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Something's wrong with you. You have a heart that needs to be corrected. And sometimes we just don't know how to express patriotism. I was thinking about our country this morning, and the only place I see flags waved in Ireland is outside pubs. There's something wrong with that. If we can associate patriotism with waving a flag at a football game, saying in the fields of Athenry when Ireland finally beats Britain or beats the Triple Crown Grand Slam champions first game but can't win the rest of their games, we won't talk about that. But if that's what patriotism is all about, that's a sad thing.
Yes.
If patriotism is how much you can hold a drink and how well you can sing when you're drunk, that's a sad thing. But that's all patriotism is in this country. There has to be more to patriotism than that. Patriotism ran through the very veins of Moses. Passionate patriotism. Moses had it all, young Moses. He had an education. He had parentage. He had an ear to the most important man in the land. Humanly speaking, he had everything it took to be God's chosen man to set his people free. He had everything except one very important character trait. Folks, I want to tell you something. No matter how zealous, educated, or knowledgeable Moses was, he was effectively useless without that character trait. And this character trait, it took God 40 years to instill into the life of Moses in the backside of the desert of Midian. 40 years it took Moses until finally, at the age of 80, he was ready to be used of God because he had this character trait called meekness. The word meek or meekness appears 29 times in our Bibles. The first reference to meekness in our Bible is to the person Moses. The Bible says in Psalm 22, the meek shall eat and be satisfied, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, Psalm 37, verse 11. Isaiah 29, verse 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. As we look at the subject of meekness this morning, we're going to ask three questions. Number one, what is meekness? Number two, how is meekness demonstrated in Moses? And number three, what is the value of meekness? Number one, what is meekness? Number two, how was meekness demonstrated in Moses? And finally, number three, what is the value of meekness? Can we ask God for his blessing and power this morning? Father, thank you so much for the privilege and joy of being able to speak this morning to this group of people. And Lord, somewhere in this crowd, I pray you'd raise up young men with a passionate desire to serve you. Lord, we need the days again where people have a real zeal for God. We need the days when people are passionate about their country and would do anything to be used of God. Father, would you stir up that spirit in your people? And I'm praying this morning You won't just stir up that spirit, but I pray you'd help us to see the value of meekness. Or else we're effectively useless for you. Lord, please bless your word. Bless it with power. Use this weak vessel. We have said this morning meekness is not weakness, but Lord, I'm weak. But Lord, I need your strength. Please speak to our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen. First of all, I want to ask the question, what is meekness? First of all, let's go to the definitions. In the Old Testament, it is explained as gentle, humble, lowly, poor. The New Testament, it adds the word mild. The College Dictionary says it's submission under provocation from others. Unduly patient, docile. Chambers says it's mild or gentle of temper. Vine says it's inwrought grace of the soul. It accepts all God's dealings with us as good without resisting. It does not struggle or contend with God. It is not weakness. It is a spirit that is not occupied with self at all. I would speak to you would-be zealots. I want to tell you something. When God really gets a hold of your heart, you want to set the whole world on fire. And if you've never had that desire, God has not got a hold of your heart. But when you want to see God work in a great way, it begins with all about you. It's all about me. When Moses stood out there and looked upon the land and saw his people being afflicted, he was thinking in the back of his mind, it's all about me. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to deliver my people. I'm well educated. I'm strong. I'm tough. I have the power to kill an Egyptian. And he, with his bare hands, he killed an Egyptian because it was all about him. It wasn't about God. He lacked a character trait at that time of meekness. Thank God he learned it later. In practice, a meek man comes up with the right response at the right time. Someone who is meek does not carnally fight and scrap with others. He does not resist the leadership of the Lord. Folks, if there's one character trait we have in this country that is a burden for me, Irish people resist authority. That's sin. It's rebellion. It's a wicked heart. And if you've any desire to be used of God, Irish young man or older man, repent of your rebellious spirit against authority. There's no meekness in that at all. You have to learn to submit to the authority God has placed over you. And that's the problem that Moses had at that stage in his life. He wasn't under Pharaoh, was he? He was a rule unto himself. He lacked meekness. A meek man does not carnally fight and scrap with others. He does not resist the leadership of God. A meek man is gentle and mild-mannered man who does not use forceful words or actions unless absolutely necessary. What I mean by that is, listen, did Jesus stand up and speak to the Pharisees? Did he put them in their place? Yes, he did. But words were necessary, weren't they? Did Jesus stand up and preach the word of God with power and authority? Yes, he did. Did he use forceful words? Yes, he did. But did he call down angels to destroy those people who were nailing him to a cross? No, he didn't. He didn't use forceful words or forceful actions unless they were absolutely necessary. There's going to come a day when Jesus Christ is going to come back. And he's going to put everything right. And his angels, with his holy angels, and one holy word is going to fell Satan, and Satan's going to be cast in the lake of fire forever! Praise God. Jesus Christ is going to come back with power and authority, and he will use forceful words, and he will use forceful actions when they are necessary. A meek person doesn't do that unless it's necessary, isn't that right? Folks, sometimes we think we're strong, but really what we're doing is using our carnal flesh to use our power and our strength to put people in their place, and that doesn't take strength. It takes, you know, it's actually really weak to do that. Because you're too weak to have yourself under control. Isn't that true? Before you think I'm talking to you, I got some confessions to make. I would like to tell you I'm that man. I'd like to tell you, when my daughter gets all emotional, I respond quietly and firmly. I'd like to tell you, when my wife feels frustrated or overwhelmed, I'm that calming influence in life that she desperately needs. I'd like to tell you, when my boys are hyper and disobedient, doing the same thing I tell them not to do for the 100th time, I'm carefully reaffirming them again of the behavior I expect of them. I'd like to tell you these things, but I'd be lying. Folks, I can come down hard on these things because I need these character traits in my life. I'm the rebel. I'm the Irish rebel that sings the Irish rebel songs because I'm rebellious like everybody else in this place. But it's not meekness. And it's not something that God can use. God will only use meekness, folks. I have had plenty of opportunities this week to exercise meekness, but I blew it. My wife yesterday our family's been sick all week. Praise God, I'm doing much better. My kids are doing better. Jenny's on the mend. And she was saying, you know, I'm not feeling great. I'm not going to have the right responses. And I had to go to her and say, I'm so sorry. I have not been the character of Christ to you this week. Please forgive me. I want to get back on track. It's easy to stand up and preach on something different to live it, isn't it? But folks, I want to tell you something. If you want God to use you, you've got to get this right. Me too. I still have dreams. I was 20. I was 18 and 20 having dreams. I'm 40 now. My dreams have not been fulfilled. But maybe I'm the problem. Maybe God has to do something in my life, something called meekness. Took Moses 40 years. Have mercy, Lord.
Yeah.
I don't have the 40 years that he had. He died at 120. I'm not guaranteed 120 years. But I would like to spend 40 years being meek, wouldn't you? Maybe I should start today. I'm not going to make excuses for anyone in this room for failing to be what God wants us to be. This morning, I'd like to stir you up, and me up, to being the Bible person you need to be. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to read the passage here, and we're going to read the whole passage, and we're going to talk about it. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Therefore they were not, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now, we'll get to the rest in a minute. First of all, I want to tell you something. Miriam and Aaron found them something to criticize in Moses. They must have been Irish. Now listen, I'm speaking to myself. Irish people are allowed to do this. Nobody else can stand up and say this. I'm Irish, I can say it, right? They found something to criticize in Moses. Moses had married an Ethiopian woman and was not an Israelite. It was not a sin to marry a woman who feared God and proselytized. Solomon married Rahab. Rahab was a Canaanite Gentile. Boaz married Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite Gentile. These women had tremendous fear of the Lord, and they became Jews. But they did not begin their lives as Jews. In the eyes of some, having a Gentile wife was a slate on the character of Moses. Have you ever noticed when others look at our lives through a magnifying glass, they find a lot to criticize? And honestly, I have a lot of faults. And you're all probably think I know. But it's true, isn't it? We all do. Everyone in this room has much to criticize. I have a lot. You can find a lot of faults in my life. I'll be honest with you. But listen, folks, we might as well just dig deep and get raw this morning and just let it all come out, right? Not pulling any punches this morning, I guess. But this is who we are. No point pretending we're all these people who love God. Now, I'm not saying you don't love God. You probably do love God, but we've got lots of faults and errors we've got to be honest about. No point in trying to hide it under the carpet. Let's give it all out and be honest. This is who we are. We've got faults and failures, each one of us. And I'll stand up before you and I could spend the next hour telling you my faults. I don't want to bore you. And I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for yourself as well. But we have enough problems. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Miriam and Aaron found something to criticize in Moses. And folks, it doesn't take long to find something to criticize in the authority God has placed over you. Isn't that true? It doesn't take long. Miriam and Aaron were family. The criticism that cuts most comes from those we love the most. Isn't that true? They always seem to know what buttons to press. It must have hurt Miriam and Aaron when they turned, or it must have hurt Moses when Miriam and Aaron turned on them. That's a true test of your character, isn't it? I know how I would have responded, and I can tell you it wouldn't have been like Moses. That's why I need this message this morning. I need this. I think we all do, don't we? I need this. Miriam and Aaron lifted themselves up against Moses in pride. And this is what they did. Look at verse 2. They said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" They sought to tear down the authority of Moses. Again, the human nature. I hate authority. I don't want anyone to rule over me. I spent the last 20 years of myself telling me that nobody's telling me what to do. You know, I mean, I can't wait. When I grow up, I'm going to leave home and no one's going to tell me what to do. What sort of a life are you going to have when you act that way? Folks, I want to tell you something. Everyone is under authority. Everyone has a boss. Everyone has an employer. And if you don't have an authority, you better find one. I'll tell you where you find an authority. Get a pastor. There's an authority for you. If you're self-employed, get a pastor. And allow him to be the authority God has placed over you. Everyone needs authority. I have a pastor. I'm a pastor with a pastor, and my pastor is an authority over me. Everyone needs authority. You don't have authority, you're going to have serious problems in your life. Young people, you need authority. If you start thinking, I can't wait to leave home, when I can do whatever I want, you've got serious problems. You've got serious problems. They sought to tear down the authority of Moses. They began by attacking his character. They questioned his position of leadership. But their motives weren't pure. What were they looking for? Hath he not spoken also by us? What about us? Here's Miriam, the one that writes the song and leads in the dance. Here's Aaron, the spokesman for Moses. Moses, you couldn't speak to Pharaoh. I was the one talking for you, right? At least part of the time. They wanted a slice in the pie, a share in the glory. Moses and Aaron lifted themselves up in pride, but they did not consider that Moses was appointed by God himself. Look at verse 5. The Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and speak unto him in a dream." Can I tell you that every authority there is has been appointed and ordained of God? We may not like the authority, but they're ordained of God. You know, when Paul said that, guess who was the king, or who was the leader, or the Caesar? Nero. Nero was a nutter. Nero, the nutter. He really was. That he was a head case. And I'm not just saying this because it's true. I'm saying this because it's true. He burned down Rome and blamed the Christians and then killed himself, set his own house on fire. He wanted to be an actor. I don't think he should have been. He knew who he was. That's only part of his problems. Nero was crazy. But his position of authority was ordained of God. And Moses and Aaron, or Miriam and Aaron, didn't consider that. They did not consider God's opinion of Moses. Look at verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. That's what God thought.
Yeah.
We can see, listen, we look at ourselves, what do we see? Be honest now. Flaws, failures. Kids, when you look at your dads, you can see the failures, right? But God says, but he's my servant. Dad, you're the servant in the home. God has called you to be the father to those children. You're God's servant for those children. God sees things differently than the way we do. Isn't that right? Verse 8. They didn't consider that Moses had a unique relationship with God. Look at verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in similitude of the Lord will he behold. Shall he behold? Moses had this unique relationship with God. Moses didn't miss any of this. Miriam and Aaron missed the whole thing. Moses didn't miss any of these things. And he could have just put Miriam and Aaron in their place in no uncertain terms. And I probably would have, and you probably would have. But that's why the position was given to Moses, not to us, right? But this is where meekness comes in. While Miriam and Aaron acted, Moses did not react. Folks, I want to tell you, that's hard. Because people are going to say and do things you just don't like. Isn't that true? And you're going to want to react. Everything within you is going to want to react, but meekness does not react. He knew that the Lord is omnipresent and hears everything. Look at verse 2. They heard, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord, help me here, and the Lord heard it. God hears everything. He knew that God, if he did nothing, God would defend him. Look at verse 4. The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. They came out. Verse 6. He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Verse 9. He knew that the anger of the Lord accomplishes more than the wrath of man. Look at verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Verse 10. He let God deal righteously with the rebellion of others. And the cloud departed off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam. Behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lead not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. He let God deal righteously with the rebellion of others. Look at verse 13. He let God work, and then his heart was prepared then to pray when he needed to pray. Look at verse 13. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Now, when you and I in that position respond wrongly, we're not in a prayer frame of mind. Somebody gets in your face, like Brother Ledbetter was saying, so, you know, we need to get into the face of the Lord. And you meant most respected. I knew exactly what you meant. But that came to my mind when you said, when somebody gets in your face, you want to get back in their face. Isn't that right? Now it's time to pray. The Lord puts it on your heart. You're not ready to pray. You understand what I'm talking about. You want to pound them into the pulpit or into the pavement or into something, right? When someone gets in your face. That's natural. But it's not meekness because you're not ready to respond when you need to respond in the right way. Can you imagine Moses being criticized and condemned and publicly humiliated by his brother and his sister. And all he can do is get on his knees and pray for them. That's tough. I'm not ready to say I'm ready to do something like that. That would be very, very difficult. Have you ever been hurt by anybody? And they come along and they say, I have a need, can you pray for me? Sure, no problem. Let's get on our knees and pray together. Not so easy, is it? Not so easy. What is the value of meekness? We've asked what we've seen the difference that meekness made in Moses' life. We asked the question, what is meekness? We saw the definition, strength under control, not mild manner. Number two, how is meekness demonstrated in the Bible? We saw how Moses demonstrated meekness. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not there, but I know I need to get there. And by God's grace, He'll lead me there. Amen. Third question. What is the value of meekness? Meekness gives you a teachable spirit. Psalm 25 verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. A teachable spirit. James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Do you know the opposite of meekness is pride? And if you or I have a proud spirit, we are just not teachable. It's like the child in the classroom with his arms folded like this. I'm not saying it's wrong to fold your arms. If you're folding your arms, it's not saying it's wrong, okay? But you can imagine a child with his arms folded and saying, I dare you to teach me. When someone has a rebellious spirit, that person is not teachable, and you cannot teach them anything. I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, your maturity level ends at your point of rebellion. So if you started rebelling at the age of 13 and you're still in rebellion, you're 13 years old in your maturity level. I thought that was really interesting. Seems to be true. But that person, I dare you to say something to get through to me. Not teachable. Not teachable. I think we've all been there before, haven't we? Perhaps we can fill our heads with information. That information will stay in our heads and go stagnant and stink until meekness drives that information into our hearts. Why is it that some people hear the gospel again and again and they never get saved? It's because they're too proud to receive it. They need meekness to receive the word of truth. Only the meek are open to the gospel. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings, which is the gospel, unto the meek. Those who are not meek are self-sufficient. They don't need God. In fact, they don't need anyone. They'll never find God until they're humble enough to have a bit of meekness. The gospel's call is for the humble and meek in heart. Zephaniah 2 verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Meekness. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God will never reveal himself to those who are too proud and too self-sufficient to need him. His grace is only for the meek and the humble in heart. What's the Bible say in James chapter 4? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I need His grace this morning. I need His grace, and I know you do too. God rejects and resists anyone else with any other attitude. Psalm 147 verse 6, the Lord lifted up the meek. Psalm 149 verse 4, He will beautify the meek with salvation. So what meekness does is it gives you a teachable spirit. But you know what else meekness does? You know, folks, I have a pretty good idea why you're here. You want to grow in the Lord, amen? Amen? Right? Okay, it's morning time, but we'll get into it. But I'm also guessing you're here because you want to help other people. Isn't that true? The things we said about ourselves, which are hard to hear, we know they're true, but we want to get past them, we want to grow in meekness, and we want to help other people, amen? That's why we're here. Folks, can I tell you something? When Moses was strutting around, now, I don't want to be hard on the man at the age of 40 strutting around. Maybe he wasn't. But while he was living in his own self-sufficiency with his great education, going around as one of the top men in the land, who wanted his help? No one did. The Israelites, as they were strove together, and Moses wanted to be the mediator between them, do you think they were impressed by Moses coming to help them, to part brethren? No, who are you going to kill? Are you going to kill me next? Isn't that what they said? Folks, until you and I develop meekness, where we're completely honest about our own failures, and we don't use our strength and our power to pound people into the pavement, we can't help anybody. I want to help people. I think you want to help people too. That's why you're here. You want to grow. You want to grow in the Lord. You want to reach people. There's something within you that wants to reach the people around you. You unsaved loved ones. You want to reach them. You want to help them. You want them. You want them to receive Christ. But you don't want just professions of faith. You want people to be saved, baptized, join the church, and grow in grace. Amen. You want them to sing their songs and redeemed with them. You want to help them. You want to love them. You want to talk about the Lord with them. You want to see them go on for God. You want to see their lives changed, transformed into the image of Christ. Isn't that what you want? That's why you're here. These are steps of growth. Isn't that right? But folks, we can't help anyone until we develop meekness in our lives. Your education is not going to cut it. Your skills and your abilities, some of you are great talkers. Some of you won't stop. I'm joking around. Come on, laugh at me a little bit. But some of you have these great gifts and abilities. But that's not what you need. Now, can God use your gifts and abilities? Yes. But what does God want to use? Meekness. He wants to use meekness. It wasn't Moses' strength that God used. It was Moses' meekness. The meekness is not weakness. He didn't go to Pharaoh and say, well, you know, Pharaoh, I think it would be great if you could, do you think you could let the people... He didn't say that. He said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. He spoke with authority and power. But the thing is, it wasn't his. When Moses said, entreat the Lord that he'd lift the darkness, Moses entreated the Lord. Entreat the Lord that he remove the frogs. When? Tomorrow. Okay. You want to have them the rest of the day? That's fine with me. He entreated the Lord. Entreat the Lord that he will remove the lice. He removed the lice. Entreat the Lord that he will remove the boils. He removed the boils. Moses was wanting Pharaoh to receive his God. Moses didn't want to pound Pharaoh into the pulpit or into the pavement. What do I say pulpit? Into the pavement. If it was you or me, we'd probably say, payback time, Moses, or Pharaoh, you're done for. Moses wasn't like that. Moses cared for the Egyptians. A mixed multitude left with the Israelites. Because Moses had a heart for those people too. Don't you think it broke Moses' heart to see all those firstborn die? Meekness. Meekness enables you to help other people. No one wants advice from someone who has an arrogant spirit. The fault finder who has made it his mission in life. And there are some people out there, and they've made it their mission in life to help, to correct everybody around them. Let me show you the things you got wrong. I have a list of things here you need to correct in your church. Or in your life. Now, I know there's not a lot of people like that out there, but there are some, isn't that right? And all they do is spend all their lives sending out emails or sending out letters or vocalizing problems with everybody else. They don't help a lot of people, even if what they're saying is true. And you know, the uncanny thing is very often what they're saying is true. But they can't help people because their spirit's not meek. You with me? No one wants to listen to the know-it-all that looks down upon others. If you think yourself better than others, you don't have to say it. People sense it. Isn't that true? Only the humble, teachable person earns the right to lend a hand to others. That person who says, I know how you feel. I'm either where you're at right now, or I was there last week or last month or last year. I know where you're at. We're honest about ourselves. Let's get up. Let's do it together. Let's go forward together. Let's reach this Ireland together for Christ with a spirit of meekness. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Oh, I'd never do that. I've learned never to say that. It's amazing how quickly you can backslide. It took Peter the best part of 3 hours to backslide, didn't it? Lord, I'll never deny thee. And that night, before the cock crew 3 times, he denied the Lord. And he was backslidden already when he should have been praying, he was sleeping. Spirit is willing, but the flesh. And he took Malchus's ear, and as one of our men says, he was going for his head. Probably was. And he ran away from the Lord, and he couldn't even tell a little girl, yeah, he's my Lord, and he's my Savior. He's my Master. We're weak, folks. We're very, very, very weak. Never say, oh, I'd never do that. But by the grace of God, go I. Thank God. I haven't experienced that. Thank God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. You know, folks, if people need to change their ways, and what they need to do is repent of what they're doing. They need to say, I'm sinning, I'm doing wrong, God forgive me, I'm wrong, I'm rebellious in this area, I need to change. But folks, I want to tell you something. You and I can't cause other people to repent. I'll just let these lads sit down. I just want to finish my point here. You and I can't cause other people to repent because the reality is we're not the Holy Spirit. And very often we sometimes want to be, you understand, humanly speaking, I'm not trying to be blasphemous. We're just trying to get people to be convicted about something. But we can't. There's only one Holy Spirit, and He may be everywhere, but there's only one Holy Spirit. All we are channels. May we be channels of blessing in meekness. James said this. Before I say what James said, Paul also said this. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Paul told Titus to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. James said this, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, which is life, his works with meekness and wisdom. Meekness helps us to help others. And I know this room is filled with people who want to help others. I know it is. What you need is meekness. You have strength, but let it be God's strength, not yours. We're almost done. This will be the shortest message I've ever preached in a men's retreat. Meekness has incredible value before God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. God greatly values meekness. Not the person who stands up for everybody and pounds everybody into the pavement. That's not meekness. Not the person who gets in between the fighters. I'll take care of this. Bangs their heads together, whatever they do. It's not meekness. But a meek person can stand up and get in somebody's face and says, what you're doing is wrong and you need to stop. And that use your strength against them. You can say it quietly, isn't that right? And you can say, I'm going to pray for you. What you're doing is wrong. Because brawlers don't know what to do with that spirit. Isn't that right? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not backing down in the fight in the face of danger. Meekness is not saying, oh, I'm not going to stand up for that. No, I can't stand up. No, that's not meekness. I need to be meek. I need to be quiet. I need to be gentle. Be a man! Be meek! But be a man! Be strong! Stand up for what's right! Stand your ground! Stand up for righteousness! Speak up! But be gentle in how you do it. Be a man. Be meek. And finally, meekness emulates the greatest man that ever lived, the Lord Jesus. He was and he is meek. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Tell ye daughters of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto you, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Folks, we all know that Christianity is all about Christ. And we know that Christ is meek. It's not that he was meek when he was on this earth. He is meek. And when Jesus Christ comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he casts them into the lake of eternal fires forever, he's still going to be meek. Jesus Christ is meek. Which means he doesn't use his strength unless absolutely necessary to, in a forceful way. And when he comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be absolutely necessary. Amen? Can we not give ourselves to meekness? You say, how? God help me. Because I know I can't do it. Change me. You can't change yourself. You can't save yourself from hell. You can't make yourself a better person. You may be able to make some external rearrangements of the furniture. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you can't change you. Only God can change you. You need Him. Will you not allow God to enter into that heart of yours and change you and give you the meekness you need to make a difference in people who desperately need a touch of God in their life? Let's pray.